Before 1959, one Manitowoc-based company was known mostly for their pots and pans. With their new product, the aluminum specialty company had a new image, a glimmery, sometimes pink, aluminum Christmas tree. And many Americans wanted it, even a popular cartoon character.
Look, Charlie Brown, what do you want?
The proper mood. We need a Christmas tree.
Hey, perhaps a tree. A great, big, shiny aluminum Christmas tree. That's it, Charlie Brown. You get the tree. I'll handle this crowd.
Okay. I'll take Linus with me. The rest of you practice your lines.
Get the biggest aluminum tree you can find, Charlie Brown. Maybe paint it pink.
Yeah, do something right for a change, Charlie Brown.
Joe Kapler joins us for a look at Wisconsin's aluminum tree history. He's lead curator and curator of cultural history at the Wisconsin Historical Society. They are celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Evergleam tree this year. Joe, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Always great to be back.
Let's get a little background. How was the aluminum tree idea born?
Sales manager for Aluminum Specialty Company of Manitowoc was down in Chicago, sees a shiny aluminum Christmas tree in a storefront window, looks at the price tag, says, we make aluminum toys and decorations besides pots and pans. I bet you we can do it better and more affordable. Grabbed one, took it back to Manitowoc. They reverse engineered it and in a couple of months' time, made a better prototype.
And yeah, it was cheaper, but it was also way more portable, it sounds like.
For sure. They brought the cost down, materials, all that. And they made it easier for people to assemble and disassemble and reuse every year. That was the key.
And they pretty much created this aluminum tree market then, right? And it was really, there were other companies, but Manitowoc was the center of this.
Aluminum Specialty was first to the marketplace en masse. They were around for 50 years in 1959, so they had established distribution networks. They had sales relationships coast to coast, so they were at a nimble capacity in terms of retooling, and they could make these trees and get them into market quicker than anyone else.
So it was like other people had made cars. Henry Ford figured out how to make lots of cars for relatively cheap. Same thing with these aluminum trees here.
Very similar situation.
How did people respond to this product? Pretty different from the, you know, cut tree you might put in your house.
Very different, and that was part of the appeal. For that slice of the marketplace, that slice of people who want something non-traditional, this appealed to them. The first sales had to be made to the Ben Franklin stores and to the Woolworth stores. They had to sell it to the buyers who had to know their customers, and they did it on a hunch, and they made a couple hundred thousand that first year before they sold one in a store.
Wow. And so they were big, and we heard that clip from Charlie Brown about the pink trees. Did that actually help sell even more of these for a while?
Some people like to point actually to that episode, 1965, as the beginning of the end of the aluminum
Christmas tree.
Because Charlie, that's the impetus for him picking out the famous Charlie Brown, you know, a very crummy natural tree is always better than an aluminum tree in Charlie Brown's eyes. I don't know that was the case, because they still produced many different types and sold hundreds of thousands more after that show.
Ultimately, though, they did kind of go out of style, it sounds like.
Basically, at the end of the decade, ceased production in about 1971, 72 or so. So maybe a 12-year run.
Now, take us to 2019 and the Wisconsin Historical Society. You've managed to get a bunch of these aluminum trees, and that not necessarily an easy job these days.
No. No one gives them away anymore. This is actually our 10th display of some kind featuring the Evergleam tree. And this year we're marking the 60th anniversary, so bigger than better than ever. And we're having a special focus on the year 1959, what's happening in the movies and on TV, what's popular in stores. But yeah, you're right. We have to obtain trees kind of like everyone else. eBay.
How many trees do you end up with in this year's display?
So this year we have over 24 trees, and we are appreciative that a lender has made some real great treasure trees, some of those real special rare ones, very hard to find available. And you can see those in the glass cases at the museum's display.
What's our color range this year?
Blue-green to pink to all kinds of
you
different...
You did get the pink. Dang.
Oh, for sure. pink is one of our treasured trees, and has a history of use in La Crosse, Wisconsin in the 1960s.
Right. This is an interesting postscript to the story, though. These are hard to get for you at the Historical Society because you know, we're not buying them at the stores. We can't buy them in stores. Some people really want to get their hands on an Evergleen tree.
Yeah, there's a finite number, even though millions were made, maybe more than one, maybe 3 million. There's a finite number. And with, you know, online social media, people can find out in a hurry what they have and discover that there is a robust online marketplace.
Well, it's got to drive you a little nuts, though, because I'm guessing that in attics and basements and barns and garages around the state, there have got to be a lot of these things hiding out there still.
Around the state and around the country, for sure, people will discover them. The irony of all of this is that they were affordably made. Scotch tape, aluminum foil, simple wooden dowels. Yet today, they're highly treasured, and they sell for a rate far greater than their original sales price.
Well, I love this because it's cultural history for sure, and this great artifact. It's also part of Wisconsin's business and economic history.
That's really the reason why we're doing it and why we have for all these years. This is a great story, Wisconsin's story of this innovative and adaptive business centered in East Central Wisconsin. And you think of Luna Specialty Company and this other company called Miro, the world's largest maker of aluminum housewares, incredible contribution kind of to that domestic good life made accessible to many Americans throughout the 1900s.
Evergleaming is the exhibit. Tell people how they can check it out online and in person.
Online, certainly wisconsinhistory.org. We have some features on loaded up on our site, as well as the exhibition on first floor of the Wisconsin Historical Museum on Wisconsin's Capitol Square. We have extended holiday hours Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and special Sunday hours, 11 to 4, up until Christmas Eve. And, of course, this year we have special merchandise, custom merchandise, available in our museum store as well.
And before I let you go, Joe, I understand people didn't necessarily decorate these by putting stuff on them. Sometimes they just made sure they had the right light shining on them, so they gleamed just right.
The whole notion was to projected color light onto these trees and even to activate them by putting them on a rotating stand. You look at the historical photographic record, it would appear that most people just hung ornaments on them. They certainly didn't hang electric lights.
And how did you tackle it in your exhibit?
We put the colored light on them, or overhead display light.
As nature intended.
As intended.
Joe, thank you so much for being with us again.
You're very welcome.
That's Joe Kapler, lead curator and curator of cultural history at the Wisconsin Historical Society. He's put together the exhibit we've been talking about, Evergleaming, 60 Years of America's Aluminum Christmas Tree. It's on view until Saturday, January 4th at the Historical Society.